week. Until then, happy reading.
And now it's time for Stages.
Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk about,
it's about all things
theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
And that is our cue to get on with the show. Hello, hello. Welcome to Stages. My name is Ciel. I'm here with the lovely Patricia Stars.
Hi, Ciel.
Hello, hello. We've got a great show tonight.
Oh, yeah, we do. We've got the wonderful actress Delara Williams talking about the smash hit Rainbow's End, which is playing at the Eternity Playhouse Darlinghurst Theatre.
And also, the fabulous Roderick Chambers is catching up with Mitchell Boutel about the new show at the Hayes Theatre, Caroline or Change. Sounds like a really, really interesting production.
Yeah, it does.
Lots of great stuff to get head out and see, including some great music that's happening tomorrow night at the Lansdowne. This is Ainsley Wills, Fear of Missing Out.
I have a drink for you. You're gonna be a mother soon. I'm so happy for you. I just thought I might be next in line. It's okay though, I'm having fun. And while there is no one who's dependent on me, I gotta live it up. But why do I feel like
that was the fabulous Ainsley Wills. She's going to be at the Lansdowne tomorrow night. Rainbow's End is happening at Darlinghurst Theatre. We are here with one of the stars, Delara Williams. Hi, Delara.
Hello.
You're playing the role of Gladys in this play. And just for the listeners who don't know anything about Rainbow's End, could you just sort of give us a rundown of what the play is about and where it's set and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's set in the early 1950s in the Menzies Prime Minister era, and it's set on the a sort of like border of Victoria where the Murray River is. And what it does, it follows the story of three women, three generations, and what it's like living in that time.
Yeah, and I have to admit that I went to see it on opening night and I thought it was fantastic. And I really loved seeing the three generations, the grandma, yourself and the daughter.
Yes.
Yeah, and I loved your enthusiasm to go and see the Queen because, of course, this was the year that the Queen came to visit Australia and, you know, there was your character living in a tin shack basically on the river that was occasionally flooded, getting in up in dressed up into her best to go out and see the Queen.
That's it. And but I think that enthusiasm still continues to this day with the royalties, with the next generation as well. So the things that have not changed over the years, but I think that was one of my favourite of her her joy of even hearing the Queen's voice on the radio.
It's sort of quite it's sort of unimaginable that it is the same Queen too. Like she's, I mean, I think she's nearly 150 or something now.
Oh my goodness,
she lived through so much, as well as of course the Indigenous people in this play. You know, went through so much, and I love the way that your character Gladys really fought for her family. family and fought for better housing. And of course, it was based on the truth of people and families in that situation who really had to fight for better housing for the Indigenous people.
Well, that's it. It's her turning point of especially the housing issues or the treatment of Aboriginal people, because we're also still a long way off before referendum in 1967.
That's right.
So it is those little stepping stones of Aboriginal people taking control or stepping up and using their voice and fighting for these platforms.
And because that's the thing, despite it being set in the 50s, it's still incredibly relevant right now.
Yeah. In Gladys's final speech, or when she reads the petition, there is so many points that she makes that is still so relevant today, and points that the Aboriginal community is still fighting for today.
Yes, and before the referendum, I mean, really, Indigenous people were seen as flora or fauna, and weren't even sort of seen as citizens of their own country.
No, not at all. And it wasn't until the referendum where they were classed in the census or in seen as flora and fauna anymore.
Yeah.
And even after that, they were still more pushing and pushing for, I think shortly after that, they were then fighting for land rights and a lot of things like Mabo came into effect with his native titles.
Now, of course, there's the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which is going through all the processes, that's why I think this play, even though I thought it was humorous, had family drama in it and had nostalgia as well, it's completely relevant, isn't it, in that way?
Yeah, I think there's one line she says in the petition saying we should have the right to control our own destiny. Mm. And I think that's sort of the same they said in the Uluru Statement.
Yeah.
They said the exact same thing of controlling our own destiny. So if you look at it, something that's said in 1953 to the Uluru Statement, which is just a couple of months ago, really.
Oh, look, what's a couple of hundred years or 50 years? But it's also a universal story of love and family too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone can relate to it, especially with family dynamics and obviously coming from different generations and how things work and the clash that you do have with that as the character Nandir, she just wants everything to be the same. Like, we're good as it is, don't be too ambitious. And Gladys, the show's opposite, saying you could do whatever you want. And I think that Dolly, the daughter, is sort of stuck in between wanting to please both her mum and her grandmother.
And, of course, her grandmother dreams of the old country as well and eating swan eggs and that sort of thing,
which
I thought was a nice connection to an even older world.
That's it. I think going back and because her goal is to live the way that her older generations lived in a place where they can have full control instead of having to beg for food or having to answer to somebody that doesn't really care about your well-being. So I think she's more about that community and being on country or going back to country.
Mm. And, of course, you're a fabulous actor and you've had lots of amazing roles. And I just wanted to ask about Phoebe Grainer. It's Phoebe Grainer who plays Dolly, the younger character. Has she been trained and that sort of thing? I thought she was really lovely.
She graduated at NIDA.
At NIDA.
In 2016. Mm. So she's actually graduated a year before me. So we went to the school together. Yeah. So she was just a year ahead of me, which is, it's crazy. And she's very outspoken in Aboriginal voices, especially in writing, and that's her sort of journey.
Mm.
But it's also great to be on stage with her as well.
So what do you have coming up? I know you've done so much, like Blackie Brackie Brown at Belvoir and so many things you've done.
I thought, Trish, you were going to ask her about something. Like, I thought you said, oh, I've got to ask you. I thought you were going to say, oh, what was it like working with Judy Davis? Is that what you're going to ask for? Tell us about Top End Wedding. What was that like? Or...
No, but I know you've done something. But what have you got planned for the future? Do you have anything planned after this play?
So hopefully I'm doing a play for Sydney Festival. Mm-hmm. So that comes out in January, which I'm really looking forward to because I think it's my first time being involved with Sydney Festival and all the shows that are involved around that time. Mm-hmm. And so that's coming up in December, really.
Do you have
a little bit of break, but
Do you have a title for that play or what we should look forward to?
No, I don't think I'm able to say it.
You're not able
yet.
To say it. Oh, I thought we had a scoop.
That's it. Because I think they haven't really done an announcement yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll leave it there.
But it is, it's another a great performance with great people. That's what I love to do. We actually had a show today with an audience of an all-boys school.
Oh.
And they really got involved in the last speech and cheering along along with it. It was one of the first times that we had that experience with the audience, which was a really great start for a Monday.
Oh, how lovely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, make sure you get along and you can cheer along as well. It is only on at Darlinghurst Theatre until the 1st of September, so not long to go. Dallara Williams, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Fabric of night when I tumble and shake and I stretch out to reach her. When the moon has a face that says, what can we do with this delicate creature? You say, baby, you're a baby, and baby, I believe you. All the knives and the needles, the glass and the razors, the tasers and lasers.
I have been to see the play The Life of Galileo. This is written by Bertolt Brecht, adapted by Tom Wright and beautifully directed by Eamon Flack. And it has a cast to die for with Colin Friels in the lead role, one of our greatest actors. Now, Brecht's play asks big questions about the nature of truth and faith. Now, it was first performed in an English version in 1947, and it really was a big hit because it was looking at the destruction of the atomic bomb and all of the tragedy of World War II. But I think it's still extremely relevant today. And in Tom Wright's adaptation, he looks at how science, which looks at climate change, has deniers and a lot of people working against it who are very conservative. Now, this is what's happened to Galileo, whose findings clashed with the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is where Galileo comes apart. I have to say that Colin Friels is amazing in this role and he keeps this whole play going. I mean, he just has so much to do. He's absolutely wonderful. Another thing I really loved about this play was that it was done in the round. And of course, this was in keeping with the planets and who is going around whom. But I have to say the standout for me was a performance by Peter Carroll. He is excellent as the straight-laced committee member and almost steals the show as the wickedly naughty nightclub dancing Cardinal Barberini, who rises to become the Pope. Now, the dressing of the Pope scene in Act 2 to me was absolutely mind-blowing and summed up everything in this play, where a little skinny old man can become the most powerful Pope and then say, I don't think it's true. This isn't time that we think like this. Don't miss this play. It's absolutely stunning and it's running at Belvoir Street until September 15th.
All the insects with pincers, the creepers, the crawlers, the predators in us.
say, baby, take it easy. But that don't make it easier.
Beautiful Art of Fighting playing at the Oxford Art Factory this Saturday night.
And now we have Roderick Chambers. He's a 2SER all-rounder. He chatted with Mitchell Butel about Caroline or Change that's playing at the Hayes Theatre. So over to you, Rod.
On the line right now we have Mitchell Patrick Butel, who is on loan from us from the State Theatre Company of South Australia. And we're very lucky because he's come to direct a great production called Caroline or Change at the Hayes Theatre. Welcome to Stages, Mitchell.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Caroline or Change.
It's a fantastic musical written by Tony Kushner, who wrote Angels in America. That's a fabulous play that won at Belvoir a few years ago. And the score is by Janine Tesori, a wonderful American composer who also composed a show called Violet that I directed at the Hayes a few years ago. And she did Shrek and Thoroughly Modern Millie. They're both fabulous creators. And it's a story about an African-American maid in Louisiana in the 1960s and the friendship that she sparks up with a young Jewish boy for whose family she's working. So it's about the civil rights movement, it's about personal change, it's about family, and it's about a lot of amazing gospel and rhythm and blues music as well.
And also, I understand there's klezmer music in there. Can you tell us a bit about klezmer music?
Yeah, so because it follows... Caroline and her family. She's a single mum with four kids, and she works for this Jewish family. And through the show, the father is a clarinetist and mum was a bassoonist. So there's a lot of traditional kind of Jewish music and klezmer music throughout the show. And Andrew Cutcliffe is playing the dad, Stuart Gelman, he's learnt the clarinet, so he can play all that fantastic Jewish
goodness.
Stuff. So he's
now
doing
that's
very well.
Dedication and talent, isn't it?
That's right.
Wow. So we're in Louisiana in the 60s, and it's a time of racial tension, isn't it? Particularly in the South.
That's right. And this show actually, one of the days is the day that JFK is assassinated, and there's a lot of discussion about Martin Luther King because it's all set in 1963. So when it was all happening in the Civil Rights Act, of course, was enacted in 1964. So it's a time of great change. And even though the Jewish family are pretty, you know, neoliberal and supposedly tolerant, some stuff happens in the show that exposes, you know, perhaps they weren't as tolerant as we thought they were. And those racial tensions are always kind of simmering beneath the surface.
And Caroline's the maid, isn't she?
That's right, yeah. Played by a fabulous talent called Eleanor Rocabara, who was also in my production of Violet and just did 2 years in the Book of Mormon. She's a huge talent and like with a voice, you know, it's like Aretha Franklin meets Whitney Houston, meets, you know, Jesse Norman. She's an incredible singer and actress. We're so lucky to have her in that role.
Oh, we should go just to listen to her, shouldn't we?
Indeed.
But there's so much more in this musical production. Have you got an orchestra for this, or is it...
Yeah, it's being musically directed by Lucy Birmingham, who did Violet and Spring Awakening with me, and she did In the Heights recently at the Opera House. And she's got a beautiful orchestra of six, small but wonderful. And because the Hayes Theatre is, you know, it's quite a small theatre, so you have to squeeze everybody into that little packed band room there. But they'll be making a pretty huge sound. I've heard them already. They sound incredible. So, and because they have to go from gospel to rhythm and blues to music theatre and the Jewish music, it's a real feast for the ears.
Yeah, and a great sounding cast. I didn't know Tony Llewellyn Jones was a big singer.
He's great. Tony's playing the kind of Jewish grandfather who's amazing in the show, and very funny, and very he kind of arrives in Act 2 for the Hanukkah party. And Genevieve Lemon, also another great stage veteran,
oh,
she's
yes.
playing the grandmother.
Well, she can do anything.
She can indeed.
So, it's always great to see her on stage, but also a great young cast as well, haven't you? You've got how many in there? Like about 12 or something?
Yeah, we've got a cast of 11.
11, there we go.
So from Tony and Genevieve, then you've got people like Eleanor and Reuven Aguenya, who was just in the Carole King musical, Beautiful. And then the two young boys who are sharing the role of Noah, the young Jewish boy, two fantastic boys from McDonald College who will alternate the role. They arrived day one knowing the whole thing. I've said to the adults, do what the boys are doing. They've already got it. They've got it covered. Lift your game, everyone.
Now, you've won the Helpman Award a couple of times. Do you think this one's going to do it for you as well?
Oh, maybe not for me. Who knows? But I certainly think a lot of the cast will be nominated because they're such incredible performers, because it's such a great vehicle, this show. Like, it really is provides a platform for incredible acting and incredible singing. So I'm sure they'll be, all this mob will be, on those lists come award season next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a combination of blues, spiritual, Motown, klezmer music. I mean, all of those, I mean, they're all very atmospheric and compelling styles of music. And I don't know how they all go together. It must be amazing. But all of that sort of the feeling that you're going to get about being in Louisiana. And, of course, I guess you're down in Caroline's Laundry, down sort of underneath. And you probably...
Is so it it's easy already, to... I mean, you're already in a swamp because Louisiana is very swampy.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk about frogs and the kind of encroaching swamp outside. And then she's even below that in this kind of laundry basement. So it's very hot, very damp. And we're actually going to put some Spanish ivy and moss in the theatre, some actual live stuff.
Beautiful.
So hopefully it grows over the season and takes over the theatre.
Goodness. And of course, I suppose at the Hayes Theatre there, you do get that feeling of being down below in a confined space at times.
So I think it's the perfect spot for us to perform. And this will be the Australian premiere of the piece too. It's done Broadway and it's done the West End, but it's never been performed in Australia before. So to have it at the Hayes, which I think is such a fantastic and exciting venue, is such a thrill for all of us.
It's quite a different experience, this anyway, isn't it, from what people may have experienced in Australia? But it is based on Kushner's own story or his own memories of growing up in Louisiana, isn't it?
That's true, yeah. So he, went on to be one of the world's most famous playwrights, but did grow up in Louisiana, did have an African-American maid. Her name was Maudy Davis, and she actually came to the opening night of the show on Broadway
really?
In 2004. And, and he said, what do you think, Maudy? Was this was that an accurate representation? She was like, no, I'm much nicer than that. But it's great. And there's some things that are not the same as his life, but it's certainly inspired by his kind of, adolescence and his love for this incredibly tough, wise woman.
Just looking at some of the themes that go through it, you're really picking a pivotal moment in American history too, aren't you, with culture and race and... And there's a lot of change going on, the space race. So all this is happening at the same time, isn't it?
Totally. Like, it's a moment of such incredible political change, incredible cultural change with that civil rights movement. But the piece is also about personal change. I mean, I guess the central theme of the show is how do you act with kindness and grace and, affect personal change when there's great sorrow or regret or, various roadblocks in your way. And I think even though it's very specific, that's something we all face all the time. How do we go on? How do we move forward? And that's kind of the central question of the play. How do we bring about change for the better in our own lives? So it's a beautiful show on all those levels.
And it kind of resonates with a lot of the things that people are grappling with today. You know, there is a lot of change happening today, isn't there?
Totally.
Social change and as well as, you know, economic and world events.
Typically, the change in the show is the plot thing. Noah, the young boy, leaves loose change in his pockets, and the new stepmom says, "You know what, Caroline, you keep the change. If you need the money, keep the change." And she doesn't want to take change from a young child. But when grandfather gives him $20 for Christmas and he leaves that in his pockets, suddenly it's a whole different ball game. And this is for a maid who only makes $30 a week. So, you know, things get pretty real.
So it sounds like it's a really an experience. You come out of there feeling completely changed, I suppose, yourself.
Yeah, plus it's also extraordinarily funny as well, which you wouldn't think in the context of all that stuff. But when you've got characters in conflict, that makes for great comedy and great drama. And plus the music, our fabulous kind of, you know, swampy design, you know, you'd be mad not to come.
Be mad not to come. And you can come from the 23rd of August, can't you?
Indeed.
And performances are on Monday, Tuesday. Well, it's on virtually every day except Sunday, isn't it?
That's right, Saturday.
Monday and Saturday.
All week.
That's great. So it's at the Hayes Theatre. I've been talking to Mitchell Butel, who's come over here to direct this Australian premiere performance, Caroline or Change. Thank you, Mitchell, so much for being with us here on Stages.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
With special thanks to our fabulous executive producer, Regina Botros, for putting this show together.
Thanks, CL and Trisha. I am going to jump in here and mention that it's that time of the year when theatres launch their seasons. And one of my favourites, Griffin, have just launched theirs for 2020. They are unique because they always have Australian-only plays, which I love. So a few to mention, and I can't mention them all, but Susie Miller's Prima Facie is back with a return season. It's coming back to the Seymour before it heads to Melbourne. So if you missed it, now's your chance. Now, I was surprised to see David Williamson at the Griffin, so that's an interesting choice, opening the year there. Also, Kendall Fever is back. Now, you might remember her work from The Almighty Sometimes. Well, she's back with Wherever She Wanders, which is an exploration of the safety of women in physical and digital spaces and having a political voice. One to catch there. Also, Betty Grumble's back. Yay. And Deborah Oswald. Interesting. So much to choose from. So many others that I can't mention. Next year, Griffin. And it also marks the 50th birthday of Griffin. So happy birthday to them. If you buy now, there are some, you know, specials with subscribers. So it's worth getting in there early. Thanks, guys.
Well, Trish, it's that time of the night again. We've run out of time.
I know. A jam-packed theatre show yet again.
Yet again. We're going to go out with some more music. This will take you back, Trish. So mm-hmm. The Aints, Ed Cooper from The Saints with Peter Oxley from The Sunny Boys.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I'm back in the 80s.
I know.
Early 90s.
Well, they are playing a fabulous bill with The Flaming Hands, Shy Impostors and The Professors.
What the?
I know. It's like a time machine.
Yeah.
It's all happening on Saturday night at the Paddo Lounge at Paddington RSL. Oh. And I think this is a great way to end the show because this song is called Good Night, Ladies. Good night.